This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, we'll hear from the great Jimmy Johnson, Fox Sports, former Cowboys head coach. Mike Krzyzewski will join us in the final hour of the program, the former Duke head basketball coach. Tonight, Titans at the Packers. And Titans right now getting 3.5, according to DraftKings. You can dial us up. Operator Tyler standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Good morning to our radio affiliates and our streaming partner, Peacock. A NYPD detective searches for the truth, questions his humanity. It's The Calling, a new Peacock original drama from Emmy Award-winning creator David E. Kelly and Oscar-winning director Barry Levinson. Stream it now only on Peacock. Poll question for Hour 2 is going to be one. Seton O'Connor?
Okay, let me update you Hour 1 to see how our coaches poll here came. Whose career would you want? Jimmy Johnson, Mike Krzyzewski. It's still at 52-48. That's pretty close.
Coach K.
Coach K, yeah. Okay. How about that?
All right.
Do you want to switch over to, since we're still talking weather, do you want to go with Paul's? It didn't go over well in the first segment, but maybe the audience would like it a little more. Buffalo v. Yuma.
So really, really hot weather, really, really cold weather.
I mean, we could change it to Buffalo v. Phoenix if you want. Phoenix, it gets crazy hot there.
Yeah, it does.
And it's also another NFL city. Might make more sense.
Okay. Yeah. That would be more of a toss-up. I've lived in Phoenix before for
Buffalo
a couple of years.
Phoenix, that's the one.
Yeah, we could do that.
I like Phoenix.
All right. Yeah, Phoenix. We're going to be out there for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steph dropped 50, and they lost again. 0-8 on the road this year. I know it's early, but I like to see kind of signs of when that guy comes back or that guy gets healthy. I don't know how healthy Klay Thompson's going to be. I don't know this version of Klay Thompson, how good he's going to be. Now, he's averaging 15 a game. I don't know if James Wiseman's ever going to be a good player. They just sent him down to the G League. Draymond Green feels like this might be the last year. I know he wants a contract extension. Jordan Poole, you know, they do have talent. Wiggins is good. Poole's good. Steph's good. Klay has been good. Not great. Draymond is going to be Draymond, and that should be enough. But right now, you know, you're wasting these efforts from Steph Curry. And the Suns had five players in double figures. Steph has 11 50-point games in his career, fourth most among active players, tied with Allen Iverson for the ninth most all time. The greatest NBA player under 6'4". Who comes to mind? Greatest NBA player. Allen Iverson is going to come to mind. Different eras. Bob Cousy would be in there, but you know, Isaiah Thomas would
That's
be
the
in
name
there.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I'd say, okay, if I said Isaiah, Allen Iverson, greatest player, or Steph Curry, greatest player 6'4 and under 6'4, let's put it that way. Steph is 6'3, Isaiah 6'1, Iverson 6'1. Nate Archibald was a wonderful Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paul.
Steve Nash has a couple MVPs.
Yeah.
We don't talk about him as the greatest of all time, but he does have two.
Yeah.
I don't think Isaiah even has one.
No. I think it would be recency bias with Steph. John Stockton's in there. But best player, 6'3 or under. I would say it would be Steph Curry. Plus, he hasn't stopped. Everybody else's career that we're talking about, their careers are over. Who else is in there? Like Kyrie could have been in there when you think about how great he is. But I also wonder, can Kyrie be a Hall of Famer? Would the voters let him be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done? Let's say he finished his career and he actually played. He was averaging 25 a game. Maybe they didn't win any titles. He did hit a shot that won an NBA championship. Probably considered as good a ball handler who has ever played the game. But everything else that goes along with Kyrie, not that you're supposed to factor that in. Could Kyrie get into the Hall of Fame? And I want to ask Coach K when he joins us, in the final hour, about, you know, has he been in contact with Kyrie? And even though Kyrie only played, what, 8 games, I think, for Duke, then he got hurt. But he was there on the dream team in Rio with Kyrie. He's had a long-standing relationship with him. Yeah, Marv.
I think because the Basketball Hall of Fame standards aren't maybe what football and baseball are.
Yeah.
I think he's already a Hall of Famer. I think he's got enough all-star appearances. He's got a title, hit the big shot.
7 all-star appearances.
Oh, yeah. Look how many guys that are in that have 2, 3, and 4.
Averages 23 for his career. I mean, you might be right, and I wondered about this morning when we started talking about it. He might be. He might be right now Hall of Famer. Yeah, Paulie.
Is Bradley Beal a Hall of Famer?
No.
Doesn't feel like it, right? Stats are similar.
But Beal never won anything.
Right. Hasn't been really even deep in the playoffs.
No, they keep talking about, you know, the Lakers may trade for Bradley Beal, but we've been talking about that, it feels like, for 2 years now. Kyrie hitting that jumper to beat Golden State, that would be different, though, than anything Bradley Beal. Bradley hadn't done anything on a big stage. And it is the Basketball Hall of Fame, so it's what you did in college. Kyrie didn't do anything in college. Bradley Beal, did he do anything at Kentucky? Was he on the...
No, he didn't do anything in Kentucky because he went to Florida.
Oh, that's right.
Stephon Diggs. When they played Kentucky, did they do anything there?
Stephon Diggs getting a touchdown.
Yeah, you're nitpicking, Marvin. Come on. I wondered, can KD catch LeBron after LeBron catches Kareem for the all-time scoring leader? Let's say LeBron finishes with 39,000 career points. Kevin Durant has 26,000. Durant has not played 80 games in a season in almost a decade. Let's say, now he's averaging 30 a game this year. He averaged 29 last year, 27 for his career. If he stays around 30, plays 75 games a year, it would take Durant about 6 years to threaten LeBron. At that point, Durant would be 39. If he averages around 25 a game, playing 75 games a year, that's the bigger issue, Durant could threaten LeBron in 7 years, at which point he would be 40 years of age. I don't know how many teams he will have played for by the time he gets there, but that'll just give you an idea that Kevin Durant is great a scorer, but, you know, losing that year with the Achilles, probably not going to catch LeBron when LeBron catches Kareem. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow, Zach in Iowa. Hi, Zach, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Zach.
First-time caller, 5'10", hard 168. I was calling in. I wanted to say that after a rough start to the season, Green Bay sparked things against Dallas last week. They're gonna light up the Titans tonight. Mm. They're gonna go on a run. Mm. I'd like to make a pie to the face that Green Bay will make the playoffs. And I'm looking at you, Paulie. I know you're a Bears fan, so I'd like to challenge Paulie to a pie to the face that Green Bay will make the playoffs.
Right. I'm gonna pass on that. First of all, I'm not anti-Packers. I think they're a cool organization, but I think they are gonna put it together and sneak in with the last spot.
Mm.
I can see the Commanders going the other way. You know, it's a weird line this weekend. The New York Giants at home are only favored by 3 over the Lions. The Lions have 3.
Yeah,
wins.
I saw that.
You see that one?
Yeah.
And you get 3 for being at home.
Yeah.
So that makes it basically a pick'em game between the Giants and the Lions.
Cowboys, on the road again, are favorites against the Vikings.
And like you always say, Vegas has no favorites. They think what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's a weird line with the Lions and the Giants.
Yeah, but the Cowboys are back on the road again, having lost to Green Bay. And they're playing the Vikings, who have one loss, and Dallas is favored by like 1.5, I think. Huh. You always look at those lines, and you go, man, Vegas got this wrong. It's rare when Vegas gets it wrong. They usually know, all right, yes, Todd.
If your immediate reaction when you see one of those kind of odds is, oh, I'm going to totally jump on that. I don't know. They must have screwed this one up. That's when you know not to bet on that or go the other way. Stay far away from those. It's like only 3 points. That's no respect for the Giants. They should beat the Lions by at least a touchdown.
And if you want to be able to witness people making the wrong bets, tune in later on today. It's Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble with Bad Larry, Dylan the Graphics Guy, and of course Shea and Irving. We'll have that podcast for you on danpatrick.com. Yes, Marv.
Sorry, to go back to the Kyrie Irving Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Thing. Vlade Divac's in the Hall of Fame.
Vlade Divac.
Okay, that was it.
Yes. See.
If I can go back even further before the Kyrie thing and talk about Steve Nash and Isaiah Thomas, would you rather have 2 rings or 2 MVPs? And which is more indicative of being a better player? Back after this.
Would I rather win 2 sports Emmys individually or 2 with my team?
The
show.
Sure.
Is that same thing? Individually being recognized? Yeah, it's harder to win the sports Emmy than it is an NBA MVP. I mean, let's...
Obviously. Obviously.
Yeah, so, yeah, Paul.
Isaiah Thomas was an all-star from day one until he left the NBA. Steve Nash started real slow. His first 4 years were meandering in the NBA.
Well, he was backing up Jay Kidd and Kevin Johnson.
He had a 5-year window where he was unbelievable. But Isaiah gets... He gets kind of like that team. You know, it's not Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons. It's the Bad Boys.
So I would rather have Isaiah Thomas's career.
Yeah.
He won a national title at Indiana.
Santa Clara did not win a national title.
They did not. They did not.
And then you throw Steph in there. It's not even close. If you're looking at rings and MVPs.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No. No.
No.
I would say Steph is the greatest player under 6'3 in history. Jeremy in Austin. Hi, Jeremy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what up, Dan? What up, Seton? Best bumper music in the biz. Mm. Hey, I just got a complaint, right? Because I got 2 friends last weekend. They couldn't watch football because one had to go to a wedding. The other one had to go to a kid's birthday party. Nah, don't do it, people. Don't get married during football season. You're pushing it during preseason because it's going to mess up your fantasy football draft. But if you got a kid, your only options of having a birthday party is Tuesday and Wednesday. That's it. All right, back to you in the studio, Dan. All right.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. I appreciate that update. Not that I asked for it, but I got it. I appreciate that. I love, parental advice for people on this program. This is our way of giving back. We're helping you. Just little tips here.
Some wisdom in the room.
Well, Paul in Las Vegas. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. I saw that Jimmy Johnson was going to be on the show today, and I'm a huge Cowboys fan, so I figured I would call in and see if you could pick his brain for me.
Okay.
I've been stewing the whole week over this Packers loss from this last weekend, and I've been trying to figure out what went wrong. And I think I've arrived at the problem with the Cowboys. They're the fifth most penalized team in the league. And in all of their losses this year, they've had 10 penalties, roughly about 80 yards in penalty yards. And in that game, you have a wide receiver lining up offsides. I don't know how that happens in a professional sport where your only job is to just line up on the line and not be offsides on offense. And then you have that huge holding penalty right there in overtime. And to me, it seems like the problem really lies in that particular area of this team. And I'm just wondering from you and maybe from Jimmy, like, is that something that can be fixed? How do you fix that? Is there someone to blame for that? Or is it just like a mental issue that you're kind of stuck with throughout the year until you can get some players in there that just know how to line up properly and not be offside as a wide receiver?
Yeah, when you see these stupid penalties, sometimes there are necessary penalties. Like, you might do something trying to get away with something. But when you line up offsides, normally, the wide receiver goes to the line of scrimmage. He always goes to the side judge basically saying, am I good? And unless that side judge doesn't acknowledge it, because it looks like he's like, all right, am I good? Am I good here? Am I good here? Wait, you're not acknowledging me. Offsides. I always look at these penalties, some of these penalties, and it goes back to coaching. Because you're the one that has to demand this and the discipline that goes along with this. I don't know how you instill that in your players. Hey, don't be stupid. We're going on this snap count. But you see players all the time like, oh, my God. Like, you got one thing you got to remember right away, and that is make sure that you don't start moving too soon. Make sure you line up on side. But there are certain penalties where you go, okay, tried to get away with that. Hey, I held because I didn't want my quarterback to get smashed. I understand all those things. It just, Dallas is tough to figure out sometimes because you go, you got talent. You're a more talented team than Green Bay. You should win those games. And I think we keep waiting for Dallas to be something. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just a good team, potential to be a very good team, but that's what Dallas has been for a long, long time, the potential instead of actual results. We'll talk to Jimmy Johnson. He'll join us coming up. We'll get to more phone calls as well. Coach K in an hour from now. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Tunnel to Towers Foundation delivers good on its promise to do good. Never forget the sacrifices America's greatest heroes have made for us. And heroes like Mario Nelson helped with the recovery efforts at Ground Zero. The experience motivated him to enlist in the U.S. Army. There were so many men and women who were inspired by what happened at Ground Zero on 9/11, went into the Army. He deployed to Iraq 2 months from coming home, and he was killed in action. He was only 26 years of age, left behind a wife and a young daughter. Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They helped out his wife and his daughter receiving a mortgage-free home. So your kindness and generosity makes this happen, gave them financial stability. The foundation trying to bring the comfort of knowing that they can stay in the home where they made many of their memories with their fallen loved ones. And for other families, the foundation enables new memories to be cherished forever. You can help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number two, the letter T.org. And we thank you. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. The 2022 Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. MBUSA.com. Keeping an eye on the Buffalo situation. It looks like at least 3 feet of snow headed in that direction. They have a home game. Don't know if they're going to be able to play that game. And I guess they could move it to Detroit. Detroit, the Lions are out of town this weekend. Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, he has a new book called Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs, a memoir recounting his great career, life, and lessons on winning. You can get your copy online wherever books are sold. Jimmy, good to have you back on. What's the worst weather you ever coached in?
Oh, Dan, when I was at University of Pittsburgh, we had, you know, we had a couple of feet of snow when we played Penn State. And a few cold games when I was with the Cowboys going up to play the Giants, but, you know, really no horrible, horrible weather. I wasn't half the coach when we were in bad weather. I looked like the Michelin man on the sideline trying to stay warm.
That's why you took the Miami job.
Exactly right. That's why I live in the Florida Keys.
Tougher to replace Tom Landry or Don Shula?
Well, you got to, you know, both of them great, great coaches. But, you know, Tom Landry had three straight losing seasons. And his last season before we got there was 3-13, which was the worst in the league. And so I think people were ready, you know, to make a move. And, you know, when I got there, you know, like I said, you know, he's a great football coach, but they just didn't have any talent. And going, Shula, they got beat in the playoffs, you know, right before, and, you know, people talking about him retiring as well. Obviously, difficult replacing either one of them. But I always told people, I said, hey, they both were great, great coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, you know, but just let me do my thing.
What was it that you did that was different?
Yeah, the one thing that I always tried to, you know, really concentrate on was, you know, bringing in talent, evaluating talent. And that's, we have people come down to the Keys, you know, coaches, general managers, owners, not only football, but, you know, baseball, you know, people, basketball people. And they say, you know, what was the key for you as far as evaluating talent and building a team? And so, you know, when I was at Oklahoma State, when I was at University of Miami, I was my own personnel director. And I personally evaluated the players before we ever signed them or drafted them, et cetera. And so I think personnel was as much as anything else in building a team.
Okay, but how do you do that? I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder, but you were seeing something that was different than a lot of other coaches and GMs were.
Well, you know, I emphasize certain things. You know, number one was intelligence. I mean, you look at the first four picks, you know, when I went to the Cowboys, Troy Aikman, academic All-American. You know, Darryl Johnston, academic All-American. Mark Stebnoski, academic All-American. Tony Tolbert, academic All-American. You know, that's in the first four rounds. And, you know, those players get better and better. You don't have the problems off the field. They improve as time goes on, and they really contribute. I always said, you know, I look for five things. I said, number one is intelligence. Number two, I wanted a gym rat. I wanted somebody that was going to compete, you know, somebody that making a difference. It was shooting pool or pick up basketball. They wanted to compete. And the other thing is I wanted a worker that had passion for what they were going to do, that would willing to work around the clock. R.C. Buford, for instance, general manager of the Spurs, you know, he's been down here twice. And he said, you know, Pop's going to retire one of these days. Would you be concerned about a college coach? You know, what do you look for in hiring somebody? I said, it's no different than what I talk to companies about, you know, in hiring workers and, you know, hiring people for any company. I said, give me somebody that's intelligent. Give me somebody that's got passion for the job, that really wants to put themselves totally into it. And give me somebody that's willing to work around the clock to get the job done. I don't care what they know. If they don't know anything about the job, they'll learn what to do, and they'll learn how to do it. So give me those three things, and you're going to have somebody that's going to be successful.
Why write a book now?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, with all the people coming down the Keys, my attorney, Nick Christen, said, hey, you got to write the story. And then after I got into it, and we started not only talking about the talent and building the team, we started talking about the struggles, you know, that I went through and my family went through. You know, both of my sons played football. I never saw either one of them play a game. And, you know, the book was almost an apology to my sons and my family that, hey, I would have liked to have been there for you, but I was always trying to win a championship. I always felt like I had to outwork the opposing coach. And so in some ways it was an apology to my family. And I talked to my boys about it, and they said, hey, Daddy, says, we understand we would have loved to have had you there. But by the same token, we benefited from all those, you know, successes that you had. Like the one son, Chad, in fact, there's a chapter in the book about it. You know, he suffered through alcoholism for many years. And he went through recovery and started a rehab center in St. Petersburg, Tranquil Shores. Now he's got a second one right outside of Austin, Tranquil Hills, super successful. And it's really, really rewarding for me to put that in the book.
But how much did you beat yourself up over that? You know, do you take responsibility in some way that your son became an alcoholic?
I don't know that, you know, my wife Rhonda said, hey, you were too hard on yourself and you took too much responsibility for that. But the only thing I say, Dan, is if I'd have been there, maybe I could have nipped it in the bud. You know, probably the most emotional I think I've ever been, they have a client reunion there at Tranquil Shores, and I've been there three or four times. And they have the mothers and daddies of the clients that are in recovery go up and speak at the podium. And mothers and dads would get up, and I'll be sitting next to Chad there in the audience, and they'll say, "Chad, thanks for saving my son's life." One lady got up and said, "Chad, you picked up my daughter at 2 o'clock in the morning, drove her around for 4 hours, talking to her, counseling with her, and then took her to detox. Thanks for saving my daughter's life." I mean, I'm sitting there teared up, and sitting next to Chad, and then I've got to talk. I've got to finish it up. And I said, "Listen, I won national championships. I won Super Bowls." And I said, "Nothing that I've ever done can compare to what y'all are doing, saving lives."
Well, you look at I've talked about this on my show about being at SportsCenter. I was working second shift for 15 years and missed out on an awful lot. And you never, my wife said, stop beating yourself up. But it's hard to say that. And, your kids, I have four kids, but you hold it in and you're like, "God, was I selfish?" And you sort of run, try to find the balance there. And I don't know if there's a balance in what we do or coaching and other professions.
I speak to companies all the time, and I visit with the CEOs and the presidents and et cetera, et cetera. And the thing that I found out, people that are really successful, ahead of these companies, they don't put in just 40 hours. They sacrifice.
Yeah.
They have their struggles, just like. So it's not just in sports. It's not just head football coaches. I think sometimes head football coaches take it a little bit to the extreme, sleeping in the office and stuff. But really, anybody really successful, they got to put their whole body into it. It can't be just a 40-hour week.
He's Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, and the new book is Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs, a memoir. You can get it online, wherever books are sold. I've spoken about this many, many times on the show, that not everybody who's a great coordinator should be a head coach. The difference between being a coordinator and a head coach on a day-to-day basis is what?
Ron Dable called, and we talked for about an hour, and he asked, he said, "What's the best advice you can give me?" I said, "Brian," I said, "you've been a great coordinator, X's and O's, schemes." I said, "But when you had walked down that hall, nobody cared. Nobody gave a damn." I said, "But now you're the head coach. You're the leader. You walk down that hall and every head will turn. If you're going to get the best out of the organization, you've got to have interaction. Because let me tell you what, no one wants to be ignored by the leader." And I said, "You've got to have interaction with the secretary, with the administrative assistant, with their backup offensive guard, with the intern coach. It doesn't always have to be upbeat and positive, but I have some interaction. Make sure everybody's on the same page." And I was so impressed with Brian. One of the things he said, "In fact, I took pizza down to the equipment guys just the other day." And I said, "Get them all on the same page."
But you put in more time, college or NFL, as far as a head coach?
Bradshaw asked me on the show one time and said, "How about the difference of two?" I said, "Terry, there's not a world of difference between college coaching and pro coaching. There's a galaxy of difference." The length of the sea. When you're the head coach of a college, especially one of those top 12 schools, you're a father figure, you're a mentor. You got young kids that left home for the first time in their life. They got girlfriend problems. So you're in your office counseling them. Now in professional football, the parity, it is so close between the best and the worst. If you don't go out there and play well, you're going to get beat. But that doesn't happen. In the top colleges, they have so much more talent than the teams they're playing. My wife, Rhonda, you could have won 10 games at University of Miami. But if you don't play well in pro football, you're going to get beat.
When you retired, give me the job that you almost came back out of retirement for.
First of all, when I left Dallas, and I did Fox for a couple of years, Philadelphia, Jeffrey Lurie, who's a good friend, he talked to me a couple different times. And I thought long and hard about it. And then McKay with Tampa, I thought long and hard about that one. Tom Benson came down. Bob McNair came down. Houston, New Orleans. And, you know, I thought about it. Philadelphia one was one that I kind of was interested
in. Any college jobs?
But the bottom line was I wanted to live here in South Florida. So that's why I ended up taking the Dolphin job.
Did you think about going back to the U at all? Any point?
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, I love University of Miami, and they're struggling right now, but I think they got the right head coach for Mario Cristobal. I think they will be fine in time, but this is a struggle this year.
It's amazing. You've done all these things, but you're still identified as the former Cowboys head coach, it feels like. I mean, that's the power of that brand. Do you give unvarnished opinions about the Cowboys? Or is there a
question? You know, sometimes the problem is anytime I say anything about the Cowboys, positive or negative, yeah, you know, that's going to be a headline in Dallas. And I mean, you know, hey, I'm not always right. Obviously, no one's always right. But they're going to ask my opinion, and I'm going to give it. I mean, I actually said a week ago I thought this was the best Cowboy team that I'd seen in a while. Now they played poorly against Green Bay. They turned the ball over. They didn't play good run defense, and that was a disappointment. But I think this is a talented Cowboys team, and in the NFC. Yeah, there's four or five teams that any one of the five could be in the Super Bowl. I don't think there's a great team in the NFC.
Yeah.
And so any one of the five could make it.
There are a lot of coaches, former coaches, you know, front office people that were deeply offended that Jeff Saturday moved in front of the line for the Colts. You, as a former coach and now analyst, your reaction?
I don't know that I was offended. I understand it. In professional football, only one vote counts, the guy that owns the team. And he can hire whoever he wants to hire. And I don't think we should be surprised by any of them hiring, because some of those guys that own the team, yeah, maybe they don't make good decisions. Now, Jeff Saturday, really a good guy. He's been around football a long time, even though he hasn't coached other than high school. I would say that, you know, there's hundreds of black and white coaches out there. They're a lot more qualified, but I wasn't offended.
Yeah, people jumped on it, and then he ends up winning that game. And then I wondered, you know, sometimes as a head coach, you have to let others do their jobs. When you get to Sunday, just do your job. Maybe you don't coach as much on Sunday as you do during the week. Does that make sense?
Well, the one thing Jeff Sutter did, he put Matt Ryan back in there at quarterback. So yeah. That made a big difference. I mean, please. I mean, so he made one good decision there. And you know, being the head coach, I think it's the longevity is what you've got to look at. I mean, it's a very difficult job. You've got to deal with a lot of different people from diverse, you know, backgrounds. You got to deal with those assistant coaches. You got to deal with, you know, 50 or 60 players. So there's a lot more to it than just coaching one game.
Is there a Michael Irvin story in the book?
Oh, I'm sure Michael's in there somewhere. We've got Michael Irvin stories. We got Lonzo Highsmith stories. Hey, one time before we played Oklahoma, we got some stories about them calling Brian Bosworth. And then we got World Wide West and Leon Rose. They drove my Corvette from the NFC Championship game to Atlanta before the Super Bowl. We've got a lot of good stories in there.
What's the craziest story, though, that you ever encountered?
The craziest story, well, actually, the craziest story of when I was at the University of Miami is when Melvin Bratton and Alonzo and Jerome Brown, them called Brian Bosworth before we played the morning before pregame meal and said, hey, guys, you awake? You awake? Well, we're fixing to kick your ass. And then they come running to me in the pregame meal and say, Coach, guess what we did? Well, what am I going to say? I'm not going to jump onto them. And which they did. But that was part of swagger. You know, Michael Irvin said, you know, hey, you know, part of swagger. And he said, what we did, he said, we're going to tell you we're going to kick your rear end. Then we're going to kick your rear end. And then later on, we're going to talk about kicking your rear end. But he didn't say rear end.
Yeah, I'm sure. But coaching somebody like Mike, who you know, had great passion, but you always probably knew that you could get a phone call at night that Mike might be in trouble.
You know, Michael never was a problem. Now, I think after I left, you know, he got off the rails just a little bit. But it was funny, you know, like if I hollered at Emmett, Emmett would go into a shell. I wouldn't get anything out of him the rest of practice. If I hollered at Michael, I could cuss him like a sailor. He had just worked that much harder. You know, I hollered at Charles Haley a few times. Charles came to my office and he said, "Coach, I love playing for you. Just don't embarrass me in front of the other players." So you had to know how to deal with each individual.
How about Troy?
I never hollered at Troy. Are you crazy?
I still love that story. And I'm paraphrasing, but when you said that if somebody fell asleep in a meeting, I'd cut them. But if, but if Troy fell asleep in a meeting,
I'd tell him to wake up. It's simple. I told every team, I said, "Listen, I'm going to be very consistent. I'm going to treat every single one of you differently." And I said, "How I treat you? The harder you work, the more you meet the rules and regulations, the more you do what I ask you to do, and the better player you are, the higher you are up on the scale. If you don't do those things, you're not a good player. You got no margin of error."
It's great to talk to you. The book is Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs. We're talking to Jimmy Johnson, and get your copy online wherever books are sold. You look great, sound great, and hopefully you do well with the book. Thank you again, Jimmy.
All right, Dan. Hey, enjoy talking with you.
That's Jimmy Johnson, Hall of Famer. Take a break. Get phone calls coming up. Mike Krzyzewski coming up next hour. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo!
Of course you know us as the host of the number one rated Paulie and Tony Fusco show.
World renowned.
We all know you're sick and tired of these stupid sports shows where the hosts say stupid things like Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Or LeBron James is good at basketball, which he is clearly not.
See, we give you smart takes.
Yeah.
And we also bring on so-called famous guests from across the sports world and show them why we know much more than they do.
You're off the show!
Are you serious?
See ya.
Listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check in with the Buffalo Bills, top of the hour. All that snow headed that way. What's plan B for the game coming up this weekend? Here's another thing. We were talking about Kevin Durant. LeBron's going to be the all-time scoring leader eventually. But what if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one and done at UCLA? Because he was there for 4 years. LeBron didn't go to college. KD went for 1 year. Kareem went 4 years at UCLA. If Kareem was one and done, and let's say he joined the NBA 3 seasons earlier, and let's say he scored 2,500 points in each of those seasons, and that would be conservative for how dominant he was back then. Kareem would have 45,000, just under 46,000 points instead of just over 38,000. LeBron would be 8,500 points behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The most unstoppable player ever, Kareem. Yes, Paul.
Kareem played, four full years of college basketball. He's 22 when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
He averaged 29 points, 14.5 rebounds, 4 assists. Yeah. As a rookie, he played 43 minutes a game.
Yeah. Just graceful. Just, to be that tall, to be. And I always go back to Hakeem Olajuwon, too, had that great footwork. And a big man to be, Joel Embiid has great footwork. If you're going to be a talented big man, it starts with the footwork. That and then having great hands. Because when you get the ball, you're going to get it either up top, down low. Can you get it down low? But having the footwork is essential to being a great big man in the NBA. Yes, Marv?
It just shows you how great Hakeem was when Kobe and LeBron and all those guys go see Hakeem Olajuwon in the offseason so they could get their work in with post moves, which is ridiculous.
And you watched a lot. He's one of my favorite players ever, and I've said that before. Actually said it to Patrick Ewing when I was asked who's better, Patrick Ewing or Hakeem Olajuwon. Not many times you get asked that question by Mark Jackson. He's like, tell him. I go, what am I telling him? Tell him who you'd take between him and Hakeem Olajuwon. We're at dinner in San Antonio. I go, I'd take Hakeem. And Patrick goes, I'd take him as well. It's like, whew. Steve in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great.
First time, 6'4", 230. So I was born in 91, a little too young to appreciate the Dan Marino days. I grew up during, Jay Fiedler, Zach Thomas, Chris Chambers.
Mm.
I got to see the Wild Cat era, and just got to say this is probably the most optimistic time down here in South Florida with the Miami Dolphins. Been a Tua fan since his Alabama days and, got a little worried there in the first couple of years, but I think he's finding his groove and hopefully the kid can stay healthy. But I just wanted to hear y'all's opinion about if you're on the Dolphins bandwagon, how everybody's feeling. They don't get too much nationwide coverage, and I'd like to hear more of it.
You know what? You earn it. I get a lot of coverage, and it feels like they're a year too early. Maybe. But look, Tua has been wonderful since he came back. Waddle has been great. Tyreek Hill has been worth it. You got Chubb. The players seem to like their head coach, Mike McDaniel. You're still going to have to deal with the Chiefs and the Bills. Maybe another team in there. I still like the Ravens. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a great story, and you have reason to feel good about it. Jason in Indianapolis. Hi, Jason.
Dan, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
First time, 6 foot, 185. Thank you. To change the subject a little bit, earlier you were talking about NBA players and all-star appearances. Got me thinking again about the dunk contest. You guys are always wondering, what can we do to make it better? So I'm going to give you this idea. I know you can make things happen.
Mm.
You can pass it along to somebody.
Okay.
What I think we need is a little magic. We need to recreate an iconic dunk from years gone past. If you could get somebody to dress up like Dr. J and somebody to put on a Michael Cooper uniform and reenact the famous windmill dunk, but play the live radio call over the loudspeaker, I think the place would go nuts.
I don't know. Reenactment dunk night. Okay. Are we going to reenact jumping over a Kia? We've already done the Dr. J one. Brent Berry did that. I don't know if there's a reenactment. I mean, that was in a game when Doc did that to Michael Cooper. That was mean-spirited, too. Ill-advised on Michael Cooper's part, where he's going to go up for the block, and then all of a sudden you go up and you're going, what am I doing up here? I got to bail. Abort, abort. That's still one of my favorite dunks. Doc was just so nasty, man. He was great. All right, more phone calls coming up. Got a busy final hour. Coach K, been a while since we've spoken to him. Now in retirement. When's the last time he spoke to one of his former players, Kyrie Irving? And we'll check in with the Buffalo Bills. Are they going to be able to play this game Sunday in Buffalo? 2 hours in the books, one more to go. Dan Patrick Show.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.